I think each and every one of you in this room knows that cotton is a food crop, but the general public doesn't seem to understand that. Cottonseed oil, in particular, has a long history. Cottonseed oil has been used for over 100 years for frying and for use in products like margarine and mayonnaise and all those kinds of things. Before World War II, it was a primary vegetable oil on the grocery store shelf. And most of you know, we say it a lot about Crisco, stands for crystallized cottonseed oil. It was the first shortening developed by Procter & Gamble way back in, I think, 1917, something like that. And so cotton is a food crop. In addition to the oil, I promised Tony I'd make a comment about this. So let me just digress for just a minute or two here and talk about the other aspects of cotton as a food crop. When we gin cotton, we wind up with, of course, cottonseed and fiber. The cottonseed is covered with little short white fibers called linters. Linters are pure cellulose. They're the purest cellulose in nature, 99%+ pure cellulose. And so the cellulose from cotton linters goes into all kinds of food products. You show me a row on the grocery store, and I will show you a product that has something from the cotton plant in it. For example, cellulose gums used in thickeners. It's used to thicken toothpaste and ice cream and low-fat salad dressings and syrups. If you see cellulose gum on a bottle of log cabin syrup, it's cotton linters that were used to produce that cellulose gum. And then, of course, the films, the cellulosic-type films that are used for sausage casings and hot dog casings and et cetera, et cetera. Flow agents, and the reference here with Tony was he was asking me about the possibility of beer. Light beer, which is more or less water, light beer would not have a head. It would not have a head if it weren't for cellulose gums from cotton linters. Cotton linter cellulose gums are used as head stabilizers in those light beers, shall we say. So cotton is a food crop. Always has been, always will be a food crop. What happened, though, here a few, say a couple of years ago or so, our marketing people in New York started running into resistance from a certain textile segment out there that had the idea, maybe it was the rayon people behind it, I don't know, but they had the idea that cotton, we use all this land and water to grow cotton for clothing, and we should be growing food and not cotton. We should all be wearing rayon, and we should be growing food instead of cotton on this precious land and using precious water and fertilizer and so forth. So in discussing that with New York marketing folks, we got this idea that, first of all, cotton is a food crop, so there's no need to quit growing cotton and start growing food. We produce something in a neighborhood on an average acre of cotton. We produce somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 25 gallons of edible oil per acre, in addition to all the fiber that's produced. So cotton is a food crop, but people don't see it in the grocery store shelf. They don't understand that cotton is a food crop because unless they read labels, they never see it. When I tell people the per capita consumption of cottonseed oil is about 3 pints per person, every man, woman, and child in the country consumes about 3 pints of cottonseed oil. Well, how could that be? If you dine in a lot of restaurants, cafeterias, it's a wonderful frying oil, has a very high smoke point, so a lot of the restaurant and food service trade use it in their deep fat fryers. It's also used in salad dressing. There's actually cottonseed oil is converted into cooking oil or salad oil. It makes a wonderful salad oil. And we'll see here a little bit. Cottonseed oil is unique. Not only does it have a high smoke point, so it's an ideal frying oil, but it also has a very light, delicate, I won't say non-oily, but it has a good mouthfeel. So for salad dressings, those sorts of things, it's very neutral oil, bland, if you will. So it lends itself also to these flavored products that we came up with. And so cottonseed oil has a lot of attributes that would appeal to the housewife or the general consumer. You know, food service and those folks know how wonderful cottonseed oil is. So we had this sort of mission, if you will, to find a way to educate the public about the fact that cotton is also a food crop. And so with the help of the New York office and some food science people out at Oregon State University, we started looking at a flavor-infused cottonseed oils. And again, it has a lot of positives in terms of its frying capabilities and its ability to accept these flavors that we've infused into them. Because it's so bland and neutral, it was really easy to get a very robust flavor. When we say we have garlic or we have one of the pepper, we deliver on the flavor. There's no question that the oil tastes like what's on the label there. And part of it is, you don't have this oil flavor, this halo flavor, like you would with olive oil. If you've been to a resort area recently, you'll see these little boutiques springing up everywhere where they'll sell flavored olive oils and flavored balsamic vinegars. You know, $20 for a little bottle, and you can buy just about any kind of flavor you want. Well, that's all well and good, but olive oil is not such a good frying oil. It has a smoke point that's about 100 degrees less than cottonseed oil, so it's not a real good frying oil. It's good for salad, but you've always got that olive flavor interfering with whatever other flavors are there, whereas with the cottonseed oil, you don't have any oil or any flavor coming from the oil to interfere with the flavors there. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, the cottonseed oil flavored oils is a much, much better product than what's available in these little boutiques with the olive oil. So with that, we started developing various flavors, and this is kind of in the developmental stage. You know, we've only really had these products in sort of a test market situation here for the last couple of months. Of course, Cotton Incorporated doesn't make or sell anything. We contract with somebody to do that, and so we contracted with a company up in Wisconsin that does some of our PR. They also own a winery and have the product liability insurance and the ability to barcode and get into distribution, retail distribution, that sort of thing. So that's why you see Botham Brands as the distributor of the Acala Farms product. But we started out with a couple of pepper oils. There's another big backstory, which I won't get into, that has to do with what we're doing in New Mexico with our Circle of Cotton Sustainability, where we're growing some cotton and we're feeding some shrimp and we're making biodiesel. This originally was going to be part of that story, and eventually it probably will be, where we might perhaps be able to put out a cold-pressed virgin cottonseed oil and some of those kinds of things. And if anybody wants to know more about that, I'd be happy to get into that with you. So that's why some of the flavors that were in the first go-round appeal more to the Southwestern cuisine, the habanero and the jalapeno lime. Of course, garlic is a standard. The cilantro is one of my favorites. I use that on salads and so forth. We've got some new flavors in the mix. A cumin flavored, a chili cumin, fried shallot, and a curry flavored. And just really, again, this is sort of in the research stage, and we're trying to find what works and what people like and what will satisfy our hope for both visibility and public awareness, as well as a really good premium high-quality product. That when we were looking for this image of cotton as a food crop, we wanted a premium, high quality, high end product, and I think we've accomplished that with these oils.